for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
Welcome to Ministry of the Badge. This podcast is going to be unlike, hopefully, anything you've ever heard before. Ministry of the Badge is going to be a podcast where we will explore who law enforcement is according to the Bible. My goal in all of this has been, which has been laid on my heart, is to enlighten those of us who had served in law enforcement, those of us who are serving, those of you who are serving now in law enforcement, and anyone who wears a badge of authority. If you're a judge, you're included in this. If you're a DA, you're included in this. Because I really want people to understand who they are according to the Bible. All the negativity that we see now, all the anti-police and anti-government and all the goings on we see in the news right now, it's all happening because God has intended for us to live in a world that is controlled by some sort of form of government. And in this podcast, we are going to explore that. We are going to explore the beginnings of authority. We're going to explore what God says about authority. We're going to explore all of those aspects that people take for granted when it comes to the police, to the Border Patrol. We're seeing a lot nowadays on you know, raids and all these things that are going on. Is this permissible? Is this even right? I mean, are we taking things way too far? What I hope you'll find as we go through this podcast, and I'm going to be interviewing all kinds of different people in the profession of law enforcement. I know a lot of folks in law enforcement. And you may say, okay, well, that's fine. Well, who are you? I mean, why are we supposed to follow you? And what about what you have to say is so interesting? Well, here's my background. So I was a police officer in a Midwest town for just about 26 years. What I learned over those 26 years, you know, you don't even realize it when you're on the job until after you leave it. But what I learned over those 26 years is my position of being a law enforcement officer was so impactful on people's lives, whether it be because I arrested them, had a conversation with them, or, you know, simply wrote them a ticket. Those impacts on their lives, some of those folks will never forget those things. So when I left the job and I became a volunteer chaplain for the Billy Graham Chaplains Association, and let me just say right now, the Billy Graham Association has nothing to do with this podcast. I am simply a person on his own accord that's been laid upon my heart to do this podcast. This is in no way associated with them, but I am a volunteer chaplain for them. And I have learned things being a chaplain for them because I have gone on deployments, they call them, where I have talked to and ministered with officers from around the country. So I've learned from there. What has really been laid on my heart to do is to make a difference, hopefully, in the lives of those who are currently in and that once were in position of law enforcement, as I said. I have done seminars at an international conference. My wife and I have done seminars, and we'll get into that all later on, but my wife and I have done seminars regarding officer-involved shootings. I have done trainings for that same training I have done for departments. I've done it for police academies. So, you know, these are all things we'll talk about on Ministry of the Badge. But again, I put together a presentation years back that I had presented to an audience at this international conference, and it was Ministry of the Badge. I still have that presentation. I still love to do that presentation, and I'm sure I will someday do that presentation, but it led me to this point. Ministry of the Badge is going to be, for me, not only the presentation that I had done, but when I had performed that, played that presentation for those folks, they were blown away by it. They had never I was told they would never heard anything like it. It was inspirational. Circumstances had, you know, have come about, and I do another podcast, a more political podcast, but circumstances have come about where I'm able to do Ministry of the Badge as a podcast. So if it's a way I can reach folks to just let them know, to give them the hope, to bring that same presentation that I put on in an international conference where you had to be there in order to hear it, it's now going to be presented to you, but in a much, much deeper format. I want to go into, you know, the lives of officers that I have come across, if they so let me. I want to go into stories that you may have about officers. I'll interview an officer from around the country. You as a viewer are going to help me out considerably, or a listener to my podcast. You could send me ideas of people who I can interview. Again, I know people, but I want to make a difference in the lives of officers, because my goal in all of this is not just to be some YouTube guy or some influencer or whatever. No, my goal is to make sure that you who do the job as officers, who wear the badge of authority, are going to do it to not only to the best of your ability, but to a biblical standard set up by God himself, that all authority that you carry when you do the job and are living the job of a law enforcement officer, even in the hardest of times, I want you to understand how different you really are. Because as we go through the show and as we discuss, you know, laying down your life, laying your life on the line, all of those aspects that come with law enforcement, I hope you realize how different you really are. Why would anybody want to choose this job? I mean, I'm sure you can agree. When you talk with people, they'll say to you, how is it you could do this job? I mean, how can you, I couldn't stand it. And you hear all these different, I would have done this and I would have done that. And, you know, you hear all these people talking. They're right. They are absolutely right. Most of the people that you talk to about your job can never understand, including sometimes our own spouses. You know, those of you who are married to spouses who also do the job, you're both going to see things differently. You may be on the same department, maybe on different departments, but because you're individual people, you're going to see things differently. We're going to get into all of that according to the Bible. There's always principles in the Bible that will help. Now, you may say, well, I'm not a Christian person. I'm not religious. Well, I'm not religious either. Let me tell you right now, I'm not religious either. When people say religious, they put a stamp of, it seems like the stamp is put on there like, oh, you know, you're better, you think you're better than everybody else because of this, or you're some kind of perfectionist. By any stretch of the imagination, I am not. Nor do I condemn or condone things that may be under the guise of religion that some people do. I'm just not that person. I don't have faux pas. Now, you have your own set of beliefs and your own way of thinking of things, and I'm sure we'll discuss that on different tactics and whatever else is used in law enforcement. But nonetheless, I firmly believe that the one standard that is set up for us as law enforcement officers, and it's so implicit in the Bible that once we start exploring that, once you start hearing that, it will change the way you do your job. Under the most extreme political pressures, you'll be able to know that if you take into consideration the fact that you have been given a power, not just have a power, but have been given a power, and that power is of authority. Once you realize that it's a power that you wield only because you've been given it, that will change everything about what you do as law enforcement. I firmly believe that. And I believe the only way to do that is by understanding and learning what the Bible says about you. And that's what this podcast is going to be about. Right now, you see a plain background, and the way I see it is we're going to start out clean. If you look up in the upper hand corner, you will see the Ministry of the Badge logo. All of those things I simply developed out of a passion for all of you, because it's been laid on my heart to do this. I ran for office a couple different times. I ran for the office of sheriff. I did not win. I ran for the office of state representative. I did not win either one of those things, only because it was laid on my heart to do. But what I learned from the peripheral of running was just amazing, was amazing. And I'll talk about all those experiences. And again, I'll talk about the experiences of other officers that I know who are Christians, and I will bring them on. I mean, I know some solid men and women who are Christians and who have sought the profession of law enforcement. And without them, this show is not going to be complete. So it won't be a show just about me. It will be about others. And I want you to help me with that, because there'll be men and women that I don't know from around this country that you could very well say, hey, I heard this show and I have a contact, and you'll be able to leave, you know, comments and below on my videos. And this is all new to me. This is something brand new. This is my first Ministry of the Badge episode, and I hope that you will continue to listen more. What I want to explore today is I want to get right into it. What is authority? How exactly and why do we have the ability to do? And I'm going to jump to it, not in a place that most people would. A lot of people would go into Romans 13, and I will absolutely go into Romans 13 later on. But I want to get into it more from the aspect of the Bible, on a scene that if you took a look at it from a modern day perspective, and I will kind of break it down that way. I'll put on the scriptures from the New King James Version. I often use the English Standard Version of the Bible. I have a couple different Bibles here on my laptop. But we're going to explore it, and that is Jesus' conversation with Pontius Pilate. To me, it strikes at the heart of government in general, but even more so in law enforcement. Now, remember, the Romans, you know, were an occupied force, right? They came into Israel. I don't know the exact times and historical aspects. I wasn't going to go into a whole history of it, but we know obviously that the Roman soldiers and the Romans came. There were wars going on, and they came and occupied Israel. But while in occupation, they became the police, the jailers, the governors. Right? They had the power to crucify people. They had the power to punish people in other ways. Not only did the Hebrews have their ways of doing things, but in ordinary to come to a point where a person had to be crucified like Christ was, they had to go under Roman law to Pilate. They had to appeal to the Romans, and that all had to be done because they couldn't do it themselves. Yeah, they had stonings and they had things like that. There's definitely scenes while in the Bible where Stephen was stoned, and that was all done under Jewish law. But when it came to crucifixion, one of the most horrific ways to die, and it was one of those ways that people they had to do something seriously wrong to be crucified. That had to be done by the Romans. So that conversation that Christ had with Pontius Pilate before he was hung on that cross is an amazing conversation. But yet, I hope what it does is it will enlighten you as to exactly who you are according to the Bible and what Pilate found out according to the Bible. So let's jump right into that. And I'm hoping that this will, oops, sorry, you guys, again, forgive my, I'll probably edit most of this out, but let's see here. There you go. This is in John chapter 18. Then they led Jesus, Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. But they might eat at the Passover. So isn't that, I mean, side note, those guys aren't going into that place. I mean, they didn't view the Romans as anyone being worthy. And when I mean they, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these guys wouldn't be seen with Rome. They had to come to appeal them. They had to go to them. But nonetheless, they weren't going to go anywhere inside any of those places, especially when it came to the Passover celebration. They were keeping themselves clean. That's why they were so upset with Jesus. I mean, he would talk with these guys, and he would eat with these guys, and he would, you know, and he wasn't afraid to do all that, which led up to this where we're at right now. So because he didn't follow their rules, their religion, right? He wasn't religious enough for them. They brought him to this point. So here he is. Pilate then went out to them. What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, would we not have delivered him to you? Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Notice what they're doing here. They're appealing to the law of the land, which says Rome, the judges of Rome, the police of Rome, they are responsible. And so these guys are using the law. Now remember, there were those stonings and everything to death, but they did not want that. No. They were going to use the law, and they were going to use it in such a way to put this guy on the spot. And they knew by appealing to this governor, this supreme ruler who was over their land, they knew by appealing to him and hitting him with certain things, and there's so much to this. You look at the political pressures of this world today. Just take a look at the news from time to time. I mean, from way back even in Jesus' time, this is every bit of political as it is a plan. And when you watch and listen to what these people are saying, it's amazing. Now, put yourself as a top cop, and you're listening to this. How many times have you been in a situation where you're like, oh man, I don't know, you know, this person, but boy, that pressure, whether it's political pressure from your bosses or it's political pressure from, you know, maybe you're dealing with some guy's kid or whatever the case may be, and there's that pressure to do something. You got to do something, and you're like, I don't know, this is kind of, and after a while, you go, well, it's not my hands. Give it over to the court. So this is what's happening with Pilate, except they're coming directly to the man who has an ability, right? And listen to what they said. So they appeal to him. And then they go on. And then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, are you king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you concerning me? Now, what's interesting about that, when you look into other parts of the Bible, this discussion that Pilate is having with Jesus is also in Luke, it's also in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's a little more shortened. But in without all those things, there's a good book on this. John MacArthur wrote this book. It's like One Simple Life or One Glorious Life. I can't remember. I'll get the exact title, but anyway, in there, he puts all of those things about Jesus in there. So he kind of writes this all out. I should have this book up to read directly from it. But anyway, he puts all the stories together and all the things that are said from all the different books, and he puts it all together. But this is interesting because they're bringing Jesus to Pilate because Jesus claims to be a king. And they say, hey, look, this guy's claiming to be a king. Now, you as Rome, you don't like that because there's only one king. To us, there's only one king, they say. It's Caesar, right? Right, Pilate? I mean, this guy's claiming to be king. See how they're doing it? They saw what he was doing to them. He was going against all religion. He wasn't religious enough for them. So they were like, okay, this guy, well, Now, but they wanted to make a point, and so they brought him to Jesus. And this is why Pilate asked him the question. And then Pilate, of course, goes on to say, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Notice. Christ is saying to him, look, not now. I have a kingdom. Yep, I am a king. It's as you said. He asks him, do you say that? Or did someone tell you that? Notice what he's doing. Jesus, if you ever, for those of you guys who are law enforcement out there, pay attention. You want to talk about someone who knows how to question suspects. While he's being questioned, he's asking questions. He always does it. It's one of the best tactics, interview tactics you can use. Ask a question after being asked a question. And that's exactly what he does. And so now he's asking. He's trying to clarify. He's feeling Pilate out. He knows his heart, but he's kind of feeling him out. And he's making Pilate, you know, this guy's sitting on the hot seat. There's a scene later on or before this that Pilate's wife comes to him and says, hey, don't mess with this guy. I'm having dreams. I mean, this guy is not somebody you want to mess with. And Pilate, you know, he's a leader. He's not going to, well, I gotta do what I got to do. So he goes ahead and he's talking. And then Jesus turns around and he answers his questions with questions. And now here we are. So Jesus says, I got kingdom, and his kingdom hasn't come yet. It will. There will be a day where it will, but at this particular time, the kingdom was not there. So here we go. And then Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus says, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should witness to the truth. Everyone who is the truth hears my voice. Who is of the truth hears my voice. And then, of course, Pilate says to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, from a biblical aspect, those of you who are Christians will understand that Pilate just admitted that he was not Christian. Why? Because if you notice what Jesus says, I'm going to look down at my monitor for 1 second. It's a little bit bigger. He says that I should bear witness, Jesus says, to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And you would say, well, Pilate heard the truth. Pilate heard Jesus' voice. No. Jesus is speaking to a much deeper understanding and hearing of his voice. One that can be only heard with spiritual ears. So, he is saying, those of you who understand me in a different way as a Christian, they understand and hear my voice differently than someone else just talking to me. So that's exactly what they say. So let's go on from there. So now he's going to try to take a way out, right? He's going to try. Pilate goes out and says, "Look, I can't find anything wrong with this guy, but I'll tell you what. You have a this is your Passover dinner. I understand the Passover. I'm going to release a person to you because, you know, it's during your Passover, you release your slaves and so on and so forth. He says, you know, there's a tradition. So I'll tell you what, I'll get this guy Barabbas and I'll turn him over to you. And that should take care of suffice, you know, what happens and so on and so forth. So not only does he do that, but he then sends Jesus to be scourged. Whooped. I mean, this is, you know, if you've seen depictions of this in movies or whatever, they say that just doesn't even do it justice. What they do to him is beat him beyond belief. They tear his flesh apart with a whip. This whip has glued bones and fragments and glass and all kinds of things in it. It's just meant to tear away and just completely annihilate him. And so he thinks by relieving, you know, releasing Barabbas and then scourging Jesus, this is going to be enough. I mean, okay, look, I can't find anything wrong, but this political pressure is coming down on me. I've got to do something. So I'm going to do this. And maybe if these people see what's going on, they'll be satisfied with that. Now, think about this in the sense of you being on duty. Think about this, you being a judge and there's political pressure coming down on you. Think about what is happening here. And you're under this extreme pressure. You're a governor who's under extreme pressure from these groups. And they're saying, you need to do something. There's something that you have to do. And you're thinking, I can't really see anything. What's going on? What's wrong? Okay, fine. I'll do this. Okay. All of it within the law. Right now, I mean, you can ask a question and say, all right, well, if he found nothing wrong, then why did he scourge him? Well, there's the question, right? Let me just say off right before I go any further, this whole scene that we're seeing play out here was always going to be the scene. So let's not fool ourselves. We'll get into the sovereignty of God and God's plan from the very beginning. We'll get into all that, but don't be fooled. This is in no way reactionary. To the world, it is. To the men who are playing this all out, it definitely is. And as you know, as police officers, when we look at, you know, the world, we obviously are functioning within time. You know, you stop a car for speeding, you arrest somebody for, you know, beating up another person. You have to use deadly force in a situation to stop somebody. Of course, in the immediacy of the time that you're doing it, it's man, you don't know what's going to happen, and you didn't know what was going to lead up to this. You had no idea at that moment in time that you were going to take such actions. You just took those actions. For God, He functions outside of that. He knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. Okay, he already knows. And we'll get into all of that. I mean, that's very deep right now. But right now, let's just focus on this particular scene. So this is playing out. He's scourged. He's beat. Pilate, just listen to him. He has to be thinking to himself, okay, this. Look, I didn't find anything wrong, but I'm caving to this political pressure. Okay, fine. I'll whoop this guy. These guys will go away. They'll be happy. I'll release this guy Barabbas. I'm good, right? I'm good. I'm doing my job, right? Let's see. So he gets him beat. He brings him back. As he's coming back, the soldiers now, they're getting into this, right? These guys, carte blanche. You know, to these soldiers, They're doing what they're told, right? And you look, whatever is, now he's just some common criminal. They can't read Pilate's thoughts. You know, they get where they're given orders. So I imagine they did this with everybody, and they went ahead and you know, mocked him. Probably got around. They probably had, you know, they were friends with some of the Jews. You know, some of the Jews talk, so they. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Again, this is all part of the plan. But to the people who are doing it, they don't know this is any kind of a plan. They're just functioning as people. Their wicked hearts are playing this whole thing out. And I imagine these guys who did the scourging and these guys who did all of that nasty stuff to Jesus, they were picked out for this job. Right? You got to be a certain set of sick to do the things these guys are doing. So I'm sure these soldiers were picked out for this. So here they are. And they bring them back to Pilate. And they're making fun of him. Hail, King of the Jews. So they bring him into Pilate. Pilate goes out again. And he says, hey, look, here he is. Jesus has on a purple robe. You know, they're making fun of him. Crown of thorns. Pilate stands in before the Jews. Behold the man, he says, in mockery. Now, remember, he started out afraid, right? He's kind of like, oh, okay. Well, now he's realizing, all right, well, fine, I'll play this whole thing out. And they start yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Now, Pilate starts hearing this. Again, remember what I said, crucifixion was not a light sentence. This is something that was reserved for the worst of people. The floggings, the beatings, obviously, this is something that they could do to, you know, as punishment. It's unlike anything of our penal system. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should flog people and do all those kind of things, but I'm saying it was either one or the other with these guys. So Pilate does probably the second most horrific thing you could do to someone, and now he brings them back, and that's not good enough. Now it's bloodlust. No, these guys, and don't think that Pilate is not ignorant to this, because if Pilate knew about Passover and knows, this rumor has gotten around. Remember, his wife comes to him, tells him about Jesus. Jesus' reputation was everywhere. Okay, Jesus was a person who, I mean, it's some of the soldiers, and we'll get into all that. Some of the soldiers came to Jesus, and they will later on as well. But this guy's reputation in that political zone, especially in that area, Pilate, he's over all of Judea, right? He's the closest to all of these people, so he knows. So crucify him, they're yelling. And Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law. They're telling him again, according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. See how they get to now? Now, the truth comes out. He's a mockery. They got Pilate to the point where they flogged him. Hey, Pilate, he says he's king. Pilate's going, all right, he says he's king, I get it, all right, he shouldn't say that, we'll flog him. Now they're saying, no, he's claiming to be the Son of God. This guy's got to go. So here they are. Therefore, when Pilate heard them say that about him being God, watch what happens next. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went in again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, what? Where are you from? Jesus doesn't answer that question. Because Pilate's wondering now, wait a minute. This is a whole nother level here. He's claiming to be the Son of God. Now, Pilate, remember, we don't know exactly his spiritual thing, but the Romans themselves had multiple gods. Right? They had all kinds of gods that they worshipped. They had temples to every kind of god you can imagine. Now, he is listening to this. Again, put yourself in this position. You know, as cops, we're not dealing with anything this cosmic, but in a way, we can deal with things in such a way where it's impactful on somebody's life. Now, it's not going to have the cosmic impact Jesus' crucifixion did, but it can have an impact. Now, so here he is, this top cop. Notice it says he's afraid because he's entering a realm that he doesn't understand. Remember, he heard this man's voice. He asked him what truth is, so he doesn't really know who he is. But something is not right. You can do what you want. You can believe as you do. You can say that you're an atheist, you don't believe in God, you know, you're an agnostic, you know there's a higher power. But when that thing confronts you, just like it is this guy, and he's powerful, he shrinks back like, oof, there's something here. There's something here. But he's got a safe face, right? He's got a hold. You watch movies on this scene, and they, you know, I imagine they do a good job. I imagine there's some kind of, you know, thoughts that go into there, or an actor who plays this part, a pilot or whatever, and you watch their reaction. But we don't know. I mean, you read these words, and you read the words of the different Gospels. You can only guess, but put yourself in those positions. Again, you're a person of extreme authority. You have an ability to, because watch what he says now. And Pilate said, oh, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Listen to what he says. Let that fall on you. If you have ever been in a situation where you are holding a weapon, and this is where people, if you are not law enforcement, you cannot understand this, okay? When you are pointing a loaded weapon that is off safety with your finger not necessarily on the trigger but on the trigger guard, okay? And you're telling a person who is standing in front of you, who is in a vehicle, who is, you know, wherever you are, and you're having them surrender to you, or they're holding a hostage or having a weapon that's down at their side, something that's not directly threatening you. This is the position this man is in. Okay, this is maybe not as immediate as a gunshot, but it's going to happen. The minute he says it happens, it's going to happen. Okay? These guys gave these orders, and yeah, they could hold it back, but not in this particular case. That's how serious crucifixion was. And he's saying this. So here he is. This is the same thing. This is the exact same thing. So here is Pilate. And he's going, look, this is going to happen. Don't you see it? Right on the edge. Jesus answered. Now here's the key. Here's the key for all of you who have been in that position. I know, I hope you never have to be in that position. In law enforcement, it's a very rare occasion to do that. But we are one of, other than soldiers, we are one of the only, soldiers would do it more often simply because of the nature of that they're soldiers. They're in war. Somebody's shooting at them, they're shooting back. But police officers, it's a different story. And again, we'll get into all that here on Ministry of the Badge, but now this is it, right? The ultimate in our authority. Police officers do two different things. Daryl Gates had said this, and I'll paraphrase Daryl Gates, former chief of police of Los Angeles. Police officers have the ability and the power, and again, I'm not going to use his direct quote because I don't have it up here, to take someone's freedom or, on occasion, on a rare occasion, take someone's life. This is what Pilate is saying. Jesus says this to him. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. That's a twofold situation right there. But the first one deals directly with Pilate. The reaction from him then, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. He heard that. He heard that. Wow. Put yourself in those situations. Like I said, I hope if you've never been in that situation as an officer where you're having a gun pointed at someone and your finger is resting on the trigger, other than in training, and even in training, it's intense. But when it comes right down to that point, that ability to pull that trigger, because now that person has made a decision that will put you in a position to have to pull the trigger, you're only able to do so because you've been given the power from above. It's a hard concept to understand, but there it is. And again, we'll explore other verses in the Bible because this is the whole purpose. Ministry of the Badge is showing you that you've been called to a job in all a career, in all what you do while you serve in your capacity of authority, when it comes right down to one of the And it's everything that you do. When you put cuffs on someone, when you read them their rights, when you write them that ticket, how are you able to do all of that through the laws and everything that were created? Of course, but when it comes right down to it, everything that Pilate had done. Or was going to do after that time, before that time, whatever the case may be, was all because it was given to him to do, including the power to crucify Jesus. We'll get into, and another point in Ministry of the Badge. We'll get into his submission to that power. That's a whole nother show. But the reason why I wanted to start off Ministry of the Badge with a clean canvas behind me and to get right into the heart, to the extreme of where law enforcement can go and those in authority, is because I want to set a tone for you to realize who you really are. You see, once Christ submitted to that, which was always going to be the plan from the very beginning, once he submitted to his own authority, because that's really what this is all about, Jesus Christ lived a life submissive to the plan and will of his Father. And we won't get into the whole dichotomy of you know, triune God and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all one person, though he is and he was, and I firmly believe that. That could be a topic of another show. I'll bring on somebody much more expert in it than I am in all of that. But nonetheless, I start out with this because we're dealing with ourselves as law enforcement, and some of us and some of those of you who are out there go about the job as if though, you know, the world owes you something, or you wield this power against mankind and you can do this and you can do that. And I know 99% of you do the right thing most of the time. And those things that we see on TV that we all go, oh man, how can you do that? Doesn't happen often. Are there mistakes made in the heat of a moment? Sure. Sure, these split-second decisions that some officers make. Of course, we're human beings. Doesn't excuse some behaviors. And we'll get into a lot of those kind of things. I'm not going to rehash old stories or whatever. I don't think it's worth doing. Unless we come across people who have been affected by those stories, then we'll bring them up, and I have no problem with that. But I want to deal with the future, not with the past. I want you to realize, in the words of Jesus Christ, you would have no power unless it's been given to you from above. If you go about your job as law enforcement with that thought in mind, it should free you to do your job as necessary. Because if you go about it in such a way that it's contempt of you or your own personal beliefs about, and you're doing it for any other reason other than to know this is about the people that you serve and the power that's been given to you. Unless you're going about it that way, you're going to have a very hard time. And maybe that's why you've had a hard time. Maybe, quite frankly, you're in the wrong profession. I see stories on from TV or whatever. And again, I always tell people I teach concealed carry classes, and I'll get into all that as well eventually here on Ministry of the Badge. But I hear a lot of things from a lot of people, and most of the time it's just all hot air. But what I tell people about a lot of these stories, the reason why you're seeing the story, The reason why it is a story, the reason why it even made the news, it's because it doesn't happen that often. And because it doesn't happen that often, and the way the media is portrayed and the way the media portrays things, it's a bigger deal. So when it comes to you who wear the badge, and you hear and you heard that prompting to go into the career that you're in, you were called to it. I mean, you did everything. maybe you had people in your family tell you, you must be crazy. Why would you want to go do that? It's because you just couldn't help it. Because you weren't going to be satisfied till you were called to it. How do I know? Interestingly enough, when I took the class to become a police chaplain, I was in the class with a pastor. And he made a comment that really started me to think. He says, you know, I never realized how much cops or police officers, I believe he said, and pastors have the same problems, you know, think the same way. And how many pastors do you know? And you might be a pastor out there that has done this. How many pastors do you know that at one time were cops? I myself have preached in a church several different times. I would have never thought I was preaching at a church. I preached at a couple different churches. There's nothing more I enjoy than preaching the word of God. And I didn't go through a school and somebody say, well, you're not really a pastor. Well, okay, we'll get into all that another time. But nonetheless, because there's a certain calling to being that. And I firmly believe that there are some who simply come to the job out of plain curiosity. Maybe they're just curious about it. I've worked with people who within 2 to 5 years, they're gone. And maybe they should. I remember hearing one person one time say, oh, it wasn't as fun as what I thought. Yeah, really? What did you think? There are those who come, and there are those who are called. I tell young officers all the time, and some of you may disagree with me. This is maybe it's strictly my opinion. But I've told other veteran officers what I've said, and I've discussed this with them. I say, look, hey, in 3 to 5 years, if you're hating life on this job, if this is just getting to you, there's nothing wrong with moving on. Maybe you're equipped to do something different. Because of certain aspects of law enforcement, Secret Service, Marshals Service, Border Patrol, jailer, there are certain aspects that I couldn't do. State Patrol. I mean, you could perform all the tasks or whatever. But then there's law enforcement in general, because all of those encompass at some point in time where you may have to use that force. And we'll get into all of that later. But to wield the ability to be able to take someone's freedom and to get through with, as some would say, gallows humor on some of the evil that we see, the conditions of bodies. I mean, think about it. I can't unsee all of those things that I have seen, all the different ways I've seen people die, all the different, the smell, this. I mean, you, any one of you out there who has listened to this show or is watching this podcast, you'll know exactly what I'm saying. And you can't describe that to anybody. You don't even know how. And you could you could talk to your spouse and you could talk to, and even other cops, and we'll get into all of this. They understand the aspect of it because they've been there. When I'm a chaplain and I go to these places and I come on the scene, there's a reservation, of course, right away because, you know, we're always protecting our own. But then once they figure out and know that, you know, I'm one of the boys, I've been there, done that, they open up to me. And that's a gift I've been given because I have done the things that you have done. But we can't describe those. We can describe them, but we can't expect people to understand those. And that's why here in Ministry of the Badge, I want to break those down in a biblical way. And I wanted to start out with one of the toughest aspects of the job that we do. And I hope from here on out that this podcast and this, whether you watch it, whether you listen to it, whether you see one of my seminars, whatever, if I start doing those, just understand this is about Brian Gonzalez, Chaplain Gonzo, as they will call me, and I'll use as my host name. This is about me living out a mission that God wants to change you. Because I can tell you this. I can tell you this honestly. The only way to be a good warrior, police officer, the only way to be the best one you can be is to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you surrender your life and become that servant, it will change the whole trajectory of not just your family, your own life, but it will change the directory of the people's lives that you deal with. From your bosses to the leader of your city, government, president, if you work in the federal system. Truly, truly, truly. My prayer is always going to be that you don't hear me. You can forget everything about me. I will be as open as I can about myself to you if it is just to help you. Some of you I have talked to, some of you have seen me in classes or whatever. You say, hey, isn't that guy? Yeah, that's me. And some of you may see me in the future, but if I never do, just understand this. My prayer for you is always going to be that you become a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For this is my heart. This is the reason I'm doing Ministry of the Badge. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening. If you found this program by mistake and you, come back and listen. If you're in law enforcement, listen. If you're a family of law enforcement, hope that you get something out of it, and I know you will. But along the line, as we go through this journey together, because again, this is brand new to me, and I'm starting out with a brand new white sheet behind me. I know that this will affect you unlike anything else you have ever heard before. I firmly believe this. I'll pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you that you have given me an ability to do this, that you have all these people come to this podcast, not because they stumbled across it, not because of any other reason other than you brought it to them. Let my words only be from you. Let them only ever be about your will and your way. Bless all those who hear. Bless all those who come. And just let your will be done with all this. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Ministry of the Badge. I hope you like my intro and I hope you like my outro. I want to thank my son-in-law, Aaron Johnson, for putting that together and his friends. It's really cool. It's rock and roll. It's kind of old school. So thanks for listening to Ministry of the Badge. Take care and I will see you again.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.